reading from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Dear listening friend, thank you for tuning in for the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's September 26, 2017, and we'll continue with our second day presented by Nikki Gumbel, addressing the topic, why and how should we tell others? And we'll basically pick up right where we left off yesterday. So if you missed a portion of Monday's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org. And once today's program airs, it'll also be archived at greatnewsradio.org, so you can listen to this anytime or listen to it again. I love that passage out of 1 Peter chapter 3 about setting apart Christ in your hearts as Lord and always being prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And I love this part, but do this with gentleness and respect. Gentleness and respect, dear friend. That's the best way to convey and share and talk about that good news, eternal message that we have, the key to all of life as we proclaim and share Jesus Christ as Lord. Well, yesterday, Nikki Gumbel, founder of the Alpha Course, laid some of the groundwork of why we should tell others. And he'll continue with a five-part reminder using P's. Yesterday, he talked about the presence, living out our Christian life, being called to be that salt and light in the world. And then he just began talking about persuasion. That's where we'll pick up today, along with him sharing about the proclamation of the gospel, the power in the gospel, and the prayer power that helps enable us to share the good news message with others. But first, I must say thank you for listening to this broadcast, which is a segment from an Alpha Talk and is not Alpha in its entirety. Alpha is a series of interactive sessions exploring the Christian faith, typically including food, a short talk and discussion in small groups where you can share your thoughts. Find an Alpha near you at alphausa.org. This broadcast, heard on Great News Radio, is produced by Alpha International. Copyright Alpha International 2015, Alpha Talks 2002-2006. Here's Nikki Gumbel, founder of the Alpha Course, addressing the topic, why and how we should tell others, with us looking at Acts chapter 17, verses 2 through 4.
As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue. On three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. "This Jesus I'm proclaiming to you is the Christ," he said. Some of them were persuaded. There's a big difference, I think, between pressure and persuasion. Pressure is not a good idea. I don't know how you respond to pressure, but I run a mile if anyone tries to pressurize me to do anything. And the effect of pressure is the opposite effect of persuasion. Pressure is very unpersuasive. But Paul says he tries to persuade people. And he does it by reasoning, by explaining. Because the Christian faith is not a blind leap of faith. It's a reasonable step of faith. There are good reasons to believe. And that's why I would encourage you to look into those reasons quite carefully. So that if somebody says to you, "Well, what is the evidence for the resurrection?" you're able to say, "Well, actually, there's quite a lot," and that you've thought about it. If somebody says to you, "Well, how can you believe if, when there's so much suffering in the world?" Of course, we don't have neat answers to these, but there's something that we can say. Don't bother to turn to because we haven't got time, but in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, Peter writes this: "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Those are two key things. I've never met anybody who became a Christian as a result of an argument. I've never met anybody who said, "I met this Christian and we had this violent disagreement, and at the end of it I said, 'Oh, I see. I'm so sorry. I was completely wrong. And you're completely right. I better become like you.'" It doesn't work like that. Just don't do it like that. Do it with gentleness and respect. And I think respect means we listen to people. We say, "Well, you know, what do you think? What do you believe?" So we tried to do that. I know sometimes people find it a bit frustrating in the early weeks of Alpha that the leaders and helpers don't say more. But we're trying to respect the fact that the guests who come on Alpha, those of you who are guests here, we want to hear what you say. We are genuinely interested. It's so fascinating to hear it. And we want to respect what people believe and listen to it. And I think respect also means being honest. That's why it's okay to say, I don't know. I'm sorry, I don't know the answer to that question. But I'll go away and find out. I think we need a little bit of a multi-layered approach, because certainly in my case, I had intellectual objections, and I believe they were genuine intellectual objections to the Christian faith. But at the same time, I think with hindsight, as I look back on my life, there were other things going on at the same time. I think, for example, I was beginning to realize the implications that becoming a Christian might have for my lifestyle. And possibly, although the reasons that I was giving to people were the intellectual reasons, deep down, for me, it was a moral question as well. And also, I was a bit worried about the fact that I had argued quite semi-publicly against Christianity. I was sort of known in the university that I was at for the arguments against Christianity. So I thought, I'm going to really lose face if I suddenly turn around and say I've become a Christian. So there are other reasons underneath. So even though people were arguing with me on an intellectual level, that alone was not going to be enough. But I'm so grateful for the people who did help me to overcome my objections. When they first realized that the Titanic was sinking, they rushed around trying to persuade people to get into the lifeboats. But a lot of people didn't believe them and wouldn't get in. Some of those early lifeboats went away half empty. But they were trying to persuade them out of love. And I think that trying to persuade people, again, is an act of love. Third P is proclamation. It's communicating the message at the heart of Christianity. It's all about Jesus. And I suppose that's what we're trying to do on the Alpha course, to focus on the person of Jesus and try to communicate that message. And there are many ways that we can do this. But one of the simplest ways is simply to say to people, come and see. Would you like to turn to John chapter 1, verse 35? The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you'll see. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who'd followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother, Simon, and tell him, we found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you're Simon, son of John. You'll be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked, come and see. It's so natural, isn't it, to say, come and see. That's what the Alpha celebration suffers at the end of the course, an opportunity to do. It's to say to friends who maybe have been interested in what you've been doing, come and see. There's no greater privilege than bringing a friend or a member of the family to know Christ. That verse 42, where it says that Andrew brought his brother Peter to Christ. The great Archbishop of Canterbury, William Temple, who wrote a commentary on John's Gospel. He wrote by the words, he brought Simon to Jesus. The greatest service that one person can render another. And it's something that we can all do. Andrew, we don't really read very much about Andrew, except that all the time he was bringing people to Jesus. But Peter became one of the greatest influences in human history. Countless millions of people. Lives have been affected by the Apostle Peter. And we can't all do what Peter did, but we can all do what Andrew did. He brought his brother to Jesus. I heard about a man called Albert McMakin. He was 24 years of age. He was a farmer. He'd just become a Christian, and he was really excited. So he heard that there was this event going on where someone was speaking about Jesus, and he decided he'd invite all his friends. And he got this old van, and there was one guy he really wanted to come. He was a farmer's son, and he really wasn't interested. This guy had lots of girlfriends. He was a very good-looking guy, and he thought, how am I going to get him? So eventually he said to him, look, would you drive the van? And the guy said, okay, well, I'll drive the van. I'm not particularly keen to come in, but I'll drive the van. And he came along, drove the van, and it was interesting what was going on, so he popped in at the back, and he was spellbound. And he went back night after night after night. And on the last night, the speaker said, look, if you want to give your life to Jesus, come to the front. And this farmer's son got up and went to the front. Since that day, that person has spoken to 210 million people in person about the Christian faith. He's been the friend and confidant of 9 American presidents. And he's spoken, not live, but through television and so on, to half the world's population. His name, of course, is Billy Graham. We can't all be Billy Grahams, but we can all be Albert McMakins. We can all be the one who says, come and see, and brings our friends to Christ. Same thing that we can do is tell our own story. That's what Paul, if you read the book of Acts, Paul's constantly telling people his own story. He'd say, look, this is what I was like. I was persecuting the church. This is what happened. And this is the difference Jesus made. And when friends ask, you can tell your story. And really, there's no answer to your story. They can argue about the evidence for the resurrection or the contradictions in the Bible or suffering or etc., etc. But they can't argue with your story. When Jesus healed the blind man, there were a lot of people who came and questioned him. The Pharisees came and questioned him about it. And they were cross-examining him and trying to trap him. And he said, look, he said, I don't know the answers to all your questions. But I'll tell you this. Once I was blind, and now I can see. There's no answer to that. And then we may have an opportunity to actually explain ourselves and to bring someone ourselves to Christ. I remember the very first time that happened to me. It was about 2 months after I'd become a Christian. I met up with a guy who I'd never met before. We went walking in the mountains in Norway. And on the train on the way back, we'd been talking for about 4 days and he'd been asking questions. We prayed a very simple prayer. He prayed a prayer of repentance, thanked Jesus for dying for him, and asked him to come in to his life by his Spirit. And I don't know what it is now, over 30 years later, that man is still a very close friend of mine. I was best man at his wedding. He's godfather to one of our children. And it's such a joy to see the difference that Jesus has made in his life, in his family's life. No greater privilege. Fourth P is power. Would you like to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 5? St. Paul writes this. Our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. This is not just an intellectual exercise. We don't sort of persuade people just intellectually. Of course, there are reasons, and it's important to give reasons, but what Paul is saying here is not just about words. It's about the activity of the Holy Spirit. For me, I look back to certainly particularly the first experience of the Holy Spirit. The love of God, that's what Paul says in Romans 5 verse 5, the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Again, love is at the heart of it. But when we experience God's love deep down, that's what the Holy Spirit comes to do. And the Holy Spirit also comes with activity, with conviction of sin, with deep conviction, but also with activity, with healing, for example. That's what we're going to look at next week. Fifth P is prayer. Prayer for others. Paul loved people, and out of that love came a desire to pray for them. In Romans 10 verse 1, he says, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that they may be saved. And so often, when someone comes to faith, their faith comes alive, we find that somebody's been praying. Rick Thorpe, who was on the staff of the church here until he planted a church in Shadwell, Rick told me once that when he became a Christian, he rang a very good friend of his who he knew was a Christian to tell him the news. And his friend was so delighted. He said, "Do you know, I have been praying for you every day for 4 years. And Rick said, he was so excited by that idea that he started praying for his friend. And 10 weeks later, his friend became a Christian. I don't know how it works, but there seems to be something that prayer is very effective. And maybe that's one of the things that in the small groups you could begin, maybe even tonight, to start to pray together. It's so powerful. We pray for others, but we also pray for ourselves. Because when you start this, some people will be interested. When you say, "Come and see," they say, "Oh, I'd love to." But not everybody responds positively. Sometimes you may have already experienced this. You've told a friend what you're doing, and they make some, maybe they mock it a bit or ridicule it, or they're not quite as enthusiastic as you hoped they would be. But this is quite normal. Would you like to turn to Acts chapter 4, verses 29 to 31? This was an occasion where the apostles had been involved in healing somebody, and it had provoked a very negative reaction. They'd been threatened, and verse 29, this is their response. "Now, Lord, consider their threats, and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. My encouragement to you would be, if you get a negative reaction from time to time, which will probably take place, don't give up. Don't stop. Keep going. Because it will have such an impact if you do. I heard about a man who was, it was during the war, he was dying in the trenches. And his friend who was by him in the trenches turned to him and he said, "Is there anything I can do for you?" And this guy said, "No, I'm dying, there's nothing you can do." Well, he said, "Is there anything I could do when I get home? Any message I could take?" And this man said, "Yes, I'd like you to take a message to this man at this address and tell him that what he taught me as a child is helping me to die now." So this man went back and he went round to this man at that address and he told him the story. And the guy said, "God forgive me." He said, "I taught that man in Sunday school, children's church." He said, "But I gave up teaching there years ago because I thought that what I was doing was having no effect." But Paul says the gospel, the good news about Jesus, is the power of God. It's the power of God to change lives. I remember a woman called Jane, who's a friend of ours, who brought a friend along to Morning Alpha here. And this friend's life was radically changed, wonderfully changed by Jesus. And Jane said this to us, and I wrote it down. She said this: "If bringing her along is the only thing I ever did in my life would have been worthwhile." May we pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this amazing message of Jesus. Jesus Christ, him crucified, risen from the dead, alive today, with us right now. And Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to find, first of all, in our own lives, that relationship with you. And then, in due course, to have this joy, this privilege of being able to tell others and to see them find life and freedom in Christ. For his name's sake. Amen.
Amen and amen. That was Nikki Gumbel, founder of the Alpha Course, addressing the topic, why and how should we tell others? I broke that into 2 days, yesterday and today, and this message is archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archived programs link. Now, maybe you prayed along that prayer with Nikki Gumbel, or you still have some questions and are just beginning a faith journey, or want to talk to somebody about a decision you just made to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, or you'd just like to talk to someone. This is a free call, and these are great folks that'll try to answer all your questions about the Christian faith. Who is Jesus? Why did he die? How you can have faith? How and why do you pray? Why and how should you read the Bible? How does God guide us? How can I resist evil? And all those topics have been addressed on prior Monday and Tuesdays during Mark and Friends, which, incidentally, are all archived at greatnewsradio.org. But if you want to talk to someone, dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. I love that verse that Nikki referenced out of Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Listening friend, don't give up on sharing your faith. God will water it, get other people involved, use circumstances and other situations to draw those loved ones, those people that you care about, to himself. It's that unique work that the Holy Spirit does. So don't give up witnessing and sharing and praying and living out your Christian faith in such a way that that fragrance of Christ becomes evident, heartwarming, and attractive. As I love to say, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you and equip you to be that faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to this broadcast, which is a segment from an Alpha Talk and is not Alpha in its entirety. Alpha is a series of interactive sessions exploring the Christian faith, typically including food, a short talk and discussion in small groups where you can share your thoughts. Find an Alpha near you at alphausa.org. This broadcast, heard on Great News Radio, is produced by Alpha International, copyright Alpha International 2015, Alpha Talks 2002 to 2006. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our Great News Radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.